This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. KUAF Night with the Naturals is April 24th at Arvest Ballpark in Springdale. KUAF ticket holders will be seated together, and one lucky guest will throw out the first pitch if over 200 KUAF tickets are sold. A portion of ticket sales will benefit KUAF. KUAF tickets are only available at 927-4063 or click the banner at KUAF.com to email an order.
Ahead on Weekend Ozarks, the sounds of spring and summer are alone without the chirps of frogs. We visit an area pond to see what's hopping. And we celebrate the croaking amphibian in our Sunday morning montage.
But before we get to all of that, a reminder that this is the spring fundraiser for KUAF, and you can make a contribution, a financial contribution to KUAF right now, 800-522-5823. You can also pledge online on this Sunday morning at supportkuaf.com.
This region is growing. I know that we'll have 500,000 people in Northwest Arkansas by the end of the summer. That's the projection.
And that's just Northwest Arkansas. That's not counting in Arkansas River Valley. But yes, 500,000 people in the Northwest Arkansas Metro, they expect by the end of August.
It's a lot of people. And as this region grows, we have more opportunities to connect all of these people and with one another. The Razorback Greenway Trail System will allow runners and bicyclists to travel from the edge of Bella Vista to South Fayetteville. Attractions like Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art and the U.S. Marshals Museum give us renewed reasons to visit towns across the region. For more than 30 years, KUAF has connected all of us in the region, too. With the stories on Ozarks at Large and the public service announcements read throughout the day, we help keep the conversation about our region vibrant. Whether it's the Mule Jump in Pea Ridge or a visiting author at the University of Arkansas, KUAF is a vital link for you and your neighbors to be able to know what's happening. We've been able to be that resource for you because of support from listeners, just like you. Operating a radio station takes money, and the most significant source of income for us is you. You can pledge your support for a valuable community resource by calling 800-522-5823 or at supportkuaf.com.
And we, you mentioned that growth with 500,000 people just in one part of our listening area. That means that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting no longer considers us a rural station, which means they expect us to raise a larger percentage of our budget from the new people, the expanded population, which means we turn to you more than ever. This is a phenomenon that has happened over the last couple of years. Around $77,000 less in CPB funding than 2 years ago. So if you have been thinking about becoming a contributor and haven't done so yet, do so now. We need you more than ever. It's more important than ever that we hear from all of the people who listen and use KUAF. Again, 800-522-5823. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com.
And thank you.
Since the year 2000, the Annie E. Casey Foundation has been publishing reports regarding the well-being of our nation's children through its Kids Count reports. The 2013 edition was released earlier this week. But what does the new report say about the well-being of children in Arkansas? Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis explains.
The title of this year's Kids Count report is Race for Results. That title perhaps belies the real focus of the report, as for the first time, the Kids Count data is organized into an index that tracks the developmental achievements of children of different races. The report not only looks at children's achievement of certain developmental milestones on a national scale, but comparisons are also drawn state by state. The data was collected across the country by state-level organizations, and Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families collected the data in the natural state. Rich Huddleston is the organization's executive director, and he says that one of the lessons immediately gleaned from the data is that, by and large, Arkansas children, and particularly Arkansas children of color, are not faring as well in regards to achieving those various developmental milestones as their peers are in other states.
Which in one respect is not a big surprise. I think the National Kids Count Data Book has been showing that for a long time. But I think, again, what's unique about this report is that I don't know that I would have guessed that children of color in Arkansas are doing, in some cases, doing worse than children of color in other states, but especially southern states. So I think there are some unique findings with regards to kids of color that have not been released before.
He says that while there were many examples of how Arkansas's children of color weren't faring as well as Arkansas's white children, there were a few areas that stood out in the data.
African-American kids, Latino kids, have a much lower percentage of kids who are reading proficiently by fourth grade, which is a key indicator of future educational success. Also, eighth grade math scores, same situation. Also, a percent of young adults, 25 to 29, who have completed at least an associate's degree or higher, which, of course, is a key indicator of your ability to find better-paying jobs. So there's a range of indicators that children of color in Arkansas are not doing as well as their white peers.
Much like the canary in the coal mine, Huddleston says that one telling indicator that children are less likely to meet key developmental milestones is their family's income level.
Children who grow up in lower-income families tend to score lower on a lot of these important indicators. But I think that's not the only reason, though. I think what it also shows is that if you look at just the extent to which each state is really committed to improving the well-being of color, I think it's fair to say that our institutions in Arkansas have really failed to adequately address this problem. And I think Arkansas has a state, has a long way to go to make all the investments that we need to make that would improve these indicators, especially for children of color.
As for particular areas in which Arkansas could invest to improve developmental outcomes for children, Huddleston points to education.
Arkansas has made strides in its overall education system of the last 10 years. Some parts of the education system has gotten better in terms of being smaller between children of color and their white peers, but I think the gap by any measure is still huge, and we're still not doing the things such as adequately investing in state-funded quality pre-K for really young kids, which research really shows can have a huge impact in terms of preparing kids for school. Because I think the research is also pretty clear that if children start kindergarten and first grade way behind their peers, then it's much tougher to catch up.
But although the overall report may paint a bleak picture regarding the success of Arkansas's children, Huddleston says that there are a few areas where the state has been making headway in terms of helping children succeed.
You do have, in the philanthropic community, for example, you have foundations like the Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation that have made reducing poverty and improving outcomes, especially for low-income kids and kids of color, a high priority in their work. And so that's a good thing when you have major philanthropic institutions like the Winthrop Rockefeller making this a high priority. They, for example, the last couple of years have launched the Arkansas Campaign for Grade Level Reading, a major goal of which is to ensure that every child is reading proficiently at grade level by the end of the third grade. And again, because that's a key predictor of future educational success.
He also pointed that Arkansas's state-funded pre-K program, the Arkansas Better Chance program, has seen some success, though expanding that program has been difficult as funding hasn't been increased in several years.
What that means is that, one, we're still not able to serve all of the at-risk kids who need to be served in quality pre-K programs. And that program served kids 3 and 4 years old. And so we can't serve all the kids. But even worse than that, the progress that we did make during the early part of the decade is at risk of being undermined by not putting new money into the program just to keep pace with inflation, for example. Programs are now facing tough choices about, can I continue to operate? Do I need to close my doors? Or do I need to serve fewer kids because I have less money? Or, heaven forbid, do I reduce the quality of my program because my program can't do all the things that it needs to do in order to provide high-quality care.
In addition to bolstering pre-K programs, Huddleston says the data suggests that other state-sponsored programs for older children could also be beneficial to closing the achievement gap for the state's children.
The research coming out of early grade literacy, it's pretty clear that low-income and minority kids during the summertime tend to lose a lot of what they learn during the school year. And so they have to spend several months during the next school year after the summertime to catch up on what they lost during the summertime, in part because they don't have access to high-quality after-school and summer programs. So we need to be doing more there.
Aside from just the direct impact on Arkansas's children, Huddleston says that the low achievement highlighted by the Kids Count data presents a future problem for the state.
In future years, children of color will increasingly be a greater proportion of the state's workforce. And, I mean, if you don't have a healthy and well-educated workforce, that hurts the state's ability to compete for better-paying jobs, which, of course, improves family outcomes. So this is an issue not just for the kids and for their families, but for all of us. Because if the whole state is going to succeed, then we need children of color to succeed and have the opportunities so that they can grow up and be well-educated and healthy members of the workforce, because that impacts the state's economy, and that impacts incomes for everybody. So this is an issue not just for the kids, but for everybody in the state.
As such, he says it's a problem for which the state's policymakers, private sector, and philanthropic institutions should start searching. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.
This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And this is KUAF's Spring Fundraiser. This is a time when we take just a few minutes in between news stories and interviews to remind you that the overwhelming portion of our budget, the largest portion of our budget, comes from you and listeners like you, people who listen to KUAF and use KUAF.
Yes, it's our listeners, our contributing listeners, who have helped us stay on the air all of these years with their financial contributions. You can give in any amount, and you can give a number of ways. You can write a check, you can give us cash, you can use your credit card, you can use payroll deduct if you are a University of Arkansas employee. There are tons of ways for you to give. We try to make it as easy as possible. If you've never given and you have questions, feel free to call our phone volunteers right now, and they will help you with this very simple, very easy process. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823.
And we do have phone volunteers that we're very thankful for who have come in on this Sunday morning. Consider information. It is essentially our lifeblood. It's how we exist in society. It's how we make decisions that affect our family, our careers, our lives. We live in an information-driven society. We can make our lives better by using what we know. How you get your information is, after all, a personal thing. Most of us use a combination of television, the web, newspapers, friends, word of mouth. We're not sure of the combination that you use to get what you need every day. But we're pretty sure you use radio, specifically KUAF, this radio station, because we're portable, we're dependable, enlightening. We give you a lot of the information that you use every day, whether it's from across the world or from across the street. Now, KUAF is one other thing. It is listener-supported. Contributing, listener-supported. We'd like you to call with your pledge of support. It pays for the programs that you rely on to get that mix of information. You can make a call, make a pledge, and in fact, make a difference in your life. You can make the call at 800-522-5823 or online at supportkuaf.com.
And from everyone here, thank you.
We've marked the beginning of spring in the past by listening in on the sounds of peepers, a species of frog that lends a special lilt to the spring soundtrack. This spring, Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich talks frogs again, this time with the Ozark Regional Coordinator for Frog Watch USA.
Spring peepers and other froggy companions croon in chorus around a Carroll County pond. They're proclaiming that winter is over.
You're going to have wood frogs, there's southern leopard frogs, and there's North American toads that are starting to sing.
Tom Crone, who lives in Yaleville with his spouse Peggy, is regional coordinator for Frog Watch USA. He's our Arkansas frog ambassador.
Otherwise known as the Frogman. I'm in this work because I was looking for a third career. I actually grew up as an amphibian.
Tom Crone really is an amphibian, having served in the Naval Submarine Service for 22 years. When he retired from teaching, he joined the Arkansas Master Naturalists. A bioinventory project required frog data, and that's when he learned about Frogwatch USA.
Frogwatch is part of a program of citizen science. So people are somewhat familiar with citizen science. Anybody that's done an Audubon Christmas bird count, that's citizen science. It's huge numbers of people that are amateurs but have some knowledge of sights and sounds going out and taking counts of for biological purposes. Those counts become available then to universities and colleges or the general public or anybody that's wanting to find some data about that species. So that's what we do in Frogwatch. We go out, we listen for exactly 3 minutes once a week or so at a pond or a location in a wetland of our choice, and we determine the species that we hear and the intensity of each of the species and enter it into a national database called Frogwatch FieldScope. We do that entering ourselves, and as soon as it's entered, it's available to anybody in the world to use that data.
Tom Crone's been monitoring frogs in Arkansas since 2009 and is instrumental in creating a new state database. So how many frogs do we have in Arkansas?
There's 23 species of frogs and toads in Arkansas, and of those, there's 19 different species that live in the Ozarks.
You'll learn about Arkansas frogs at free workshops, which Tom Crone hosts around the state. Next Tuesday, he'll be in Northwest Arkansas at the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History in Springdale from 6:30 to 9 p.m.
And during our workshops, our participants learn to identify all 19 species. I teach the local frogs for local frogs and toads for people that attend the workshops.
By following Crone's prepared PowerPoint presentation, participants will learn to identify and mimic frog calls, and also about wetlands and frog monitoring to become certified listeners. Frogwatch volunteers and commit to spending February through August visiting a site of their choice to identify individual frogs and toads to submit to the national database. So far, 106 chapters of Frogwatch USA have organized around the country. And Tom Crone has established Arkansas Frogs and Toads, his nonprofit organization that funds his work, which is supported in part by the North Central Arkansas Master Naturalists.
Gotten a couple grants, and we've established a couple fundraisers. We're selling raffle tickets on a quilt, and we make toad abodes, toad houses, and sell those sometimes at our workshops.
One question Tom Crone's getting at his workshops this year is how frogs fare during this intensely cold and snowy winter.
Frogs and toads hibernate in the winter. And so if it's really cold, they just come out later. And that's what we're seeing this year. The frog, for example, might be hibernating at the bottom of a pond, and the water at the bottom stays about 39 degrees. As long as the pond doesn't freeze solid, that frog is happy.
Like this chuckling leopard frog, a favorite of Tom Crone's.
One thing, it's a beautiful frog. It has black geometric figures on its back. It has a little bit of green. It's about 2 to 3 to 4 inches long, depending on how old they are.
But one thing that's occurred this year, and perhaps you've noticed this, is that frogs are emerging much later in the season than usual.
What they call the phenology, the timing. Last year, we started hearing spring peepers, you know, the frogs that sound like only when there's a lot of them, it's much louder. We started hearing those at the end of January, beginning February. This year, not until March. So, you know, they know it's not time to come up yet. There's still more winter coming.
And when they emerge from hibernation, they have a lot of business to take care of.
They get something to eat, and then they want to breed. And the fact that they breed in mass may be true. One of the things that we listen for when we're out doing our monitoring is not only the species, but also the intensity. And by intensity, I don't mean the loudness, but the numbers. Some frogs, you may go to a large body of water and hear one or two bullfrogs.
Another spring frog is the upland chorus frog.
Also, early frogs are chorus frogs. They sound like your thumb scraping across a comb. And then during the late spring and then the summer is when all the tree frogs will come out.
By early summer, we may hear cricket frogs and this fowler toad. And here's our American toad. None of Arkansas's frogs or toads are listed as threatened or endangered, thankfully. But the bigger picture reveals that we are in big trouble.
In the big picture, the amphibians in the United States, amphibians, about 36% of all amphibians, and that includes frogs, toads, and salamanders, 36% of them are endangered or threatened in some way. Now, it's not so in Arkansas. We're fortunate. Our natural state is taking care of natural areas maybe a little bit better than other parts of the country. But in our country, they're at a high level compared to maybe 10% of all birds or mammals. You know, so amphibians are much more at risk. And it's the first time in history, I think, that we could experience the extinction of a animal classification totally within, you know, maybe 50 years.
So in the coming weeks, as things warm, if you encounter a pasture pond or ephemeral forest pool full of spring singers, take a moment.
Next time on Living on Earth, with parts of the Pacific Ocean unusually warm, scientists say an El Nino is likely.
When an El Nino happens, because of climate change, the floods and the droughts in different places around the world tend to be stronger than they otherwise would be.
I'm Steve Curwood, and just where we can expect those floods and droughts is next time on Living on Earth from PRI.
Living on Earth, this afternoon, beginning at 5 on KUAF.
This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Thomas.
This is a special fundraising edition of Weekend Ozarks at Large. It is our spring on-air fundraiser, a time when we remind our listeners how important they are to helping us stay on the air with their continued contributions. If you have yet to make your financial contribution this spring, you can do so now by calling 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KU. UAF. Perhaps you are listening to us on your radio and you're, you know, on your computer looking at email and things like that. You can also click on over to supportkuaf.com and contribute there.
I think that'll work on an iPad or iPhone too.
I think so.
Yeah.
Try to make it as easy as possible right. For you to be able to contribute to us.
That's right. We all look for ways to economize, both with our money and our time. Here's a way you can economize while supporting KUAF. Become a sustaining member. Choose an amount that's right for you and have it charged electronically on a monthly basis to your checking account. Your contribution will be automatically renewed each year. When you become a sustaining member, you eliminate the need for renewal mailings and you save paper and postage costs. You also reduce the amount of time needed for on-air fundraising by contributing to a stable source of revenue for KUAF. Everybody wins. Call right now and say that you want to become a sustaining member of KUAF. Call 575-5823 or 800-522-5823 or supportkuaf.com.
Our annual budget is a little bit over $1 million every year, and the vast majority of that money comes from generous listeners who time and time again give their support. They show their support. They show that they enjoy what we're doing here at KUAF and that they want us to continue providing them with news and entertainment and local stories here on KUAF or on Ozarks at Large or local music on our local music programs like Of Note with Katie Henriksen. And if you have not made that contribution, we do ask that you do that now by calling one of our lovely phone volunteers this morning at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com.
And thank you to anyone and everyone who has contributed so far.
Now, Antoinette just mentioned Of Note with Katie Henriksen, a show that's on 11 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, and features music, of course. Here on Weekend Ozarks, we have music almost every Sunday.
Typically, we have somebody in the Furman Garner Performance Studio on Friday's edition.
Right.
And we have another song on Sunday mornings.
That's right. And so this week's guest was Peter Lippincott from Fort Smith. People know him from Mud Puppy Pottery. Well, he's just released his second CD. It's titled Brain Freeze. Now, this is a song he performed inside Furman Garner that is not on Brain Freeze, but he does perform live at his shows. And I'll tell you about his CD release shows here in a minute. But this is the song he submitted for the Song for Arkansas contest, performed live inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
You know that I love to hear the turtle dove in the early morning light, and the thrill to the trill of the whippoorwill when I fall asleep at night. That mountain jack is a calling me back to my Ozark mountain home, to the verdant vales of the old folk tales, those hills I'd long to roam, hills I'd love to roam. You know, me and my wife live a city life, but we love to get away. Out to the land where the Indians made pottery out of clay. Where every fall the turkeys call and the whitetails buck and snort. If you can't sit still, you can hike a trail. That's my favorite sport. That's my favorite sport. Blanchard Springs, where the fiddles ring and the bullfrogs do-si-do. On the buffalo, where time goes slow, you can paddle your own canoe. When we get away for a month or a day, you know we'll always find down in Arkansas, it's God's own law to have a natural state of mind. Natural state of mind. Natural state of mind.
Peter Lippincott inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. His new CD is titled Brain Freeze. He'll have a pair of CD release shows, May 3rd at the Cove in Fayetteville at 6:30 p.m., May 10th at North 52nd Street in Fort Smith. That one begins at 7 p.m.
Becky Schaefer had a rough childhood. At the age of 12, she was placed in a children's home. When she graduated from her Christian high school, she was expected to leave the home and move on. With no better idea of a place to go, she went to college. Mostly because, as she said, she needed a place to live. She referred to that first semester as being in survival mode. She quickly got into a romantic relationship, and by Christmas of that year, she was married and expecting her first child. Becky knows firsthand the difficulties girls face when transitioning from girlhood to adulthood without the support of a parental system. She and her husband, they're still married 25 years later, moved to Northwest Arkansas from Oklahoma 5 years ago. In Oklahoma, they had once been the house parents at a children's home. Becky knew that she wanted to continue her ministry to young people in need, but was unsure of the path to take until, as she says, she received a sign from God.
So I worked at Hobby Lobby, and my husband worked at John Brown University. And we were sitting having coffee before we both ran off to our different jobs. And he just said, "Sweetheart, you know, what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do?" And I just was like, "Babe, I want to go do this thing called Saving Grace. You know that I want to do that." And I said, "Can't we just ask God for a sign that he would, show me that this is the way?" So he kind of did that with his tongue in his cheek and was like, "Yes, Lord, show Becky the way, blah, 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 send her a sign." So I went to work, still a little bit heavy-hearted, and was cutting fabric for a lady.
Becky started talking with that lady and sharing her experiences and dreams. The woman told her, "You have to do that." 4 hours later, she returned to the Hobby Lobby store to bring Becky a literal sign that read, "Amazing Grace." And that was the start of Saving Grace, a Rogers home for girls who have aged out of foster care or who are otherwise homeless. Within 6 weeks of that meeting, the organization was formed, complete with 501c3 status, and a lease was signed on the building behind what was St. Mary's Hospital. That is now the Center for Nonprofits. The building is the former convent space for the hospital's nuns. Unable to take in everyone, though anyone can apply, there are reference checks and interviews to determine who can come to live at the house. Opening just over 4 years ago, around 10 girls have graduated from the program, and there are currently 10 more girls who call the former convent home.
For the most part, they do all their own cooking. We do have evenings where we have dinner with friends, and so a group of people that have built relationships with them and they kind of know come in and cook dinner with them. And every Thursday night, we invite everybody home for dinner, just like we would at Mom and Dad's. So that's kind of how we have it set up.
This is so much more than a home. It's a program that acts as stand-in parents, teaching the girls the way of adult life, with skills such as budgeting, paying rent, buying a car, being responsible at work and in school, skills many of these girls would be forced to learn on their own or not at all. On average, 290 young adults age out of foster care each year in the state of Arkansas, often without the skills and resources they need to sustain themselves for the long term. The program is generally 2 years, but some stay in for three. Graduates are welcome to come back for classes that are held in the convent's former chapel. Thanks to a grant from the Walmart Family Foundation, the chapel has been converted into a classroom, complete with computers.
If you were in here last night, we cleaned everything up last night, but for the last 8 weeks, we've been doing kind of an art therapy project with them called Soul Restoration. There were tables covered in plastic and paint and glitter and all kinds of stuff. Then they'll start on their financial piece again. So that's this room, the classroom.
Rounding a corner to the right is the residence hallway, where each girl has her own room, complete with a key to that room. Three of the 14 rooms are currently empty, and these doors are wide open. Becky steps into one of them. Inside, there's a twin bed, a rocking chair, and a dresser. It's decorated in grays, blues, and greens, complete with a decorative owl pillow.
All the rooms are set up in such a way that everybody has their own living space. So there's only one girl to a bedroom. They have their own key to the door. There's a sink. We have four bathrooms, though, for 14 rooms. So do the math. So they brush their teeth, wash their face, and all that stuff in their own bedrooms.
Residents must pay rent, 20% of their income. At just past 9:30 in the morning, the hallway is quiet. Everyone is either at work or at school. Two are still in high school, others are getting their GED, attending community college or a vocational school, such as cosmetology or school to become a nursing assistant. Those that have chosen education receive an incentive. Their rent is paid by the organization as it sees education as one of the biggest ways to break the cycle of poverty.
Essentially, that's what we're doing. We're taking the sons and the daughters of Northwest Arkansas who are impoverished, who have been impoverished for generations, and breaking the chains. And it's difficult. It takes time. Our program is 2 years long. It takes time for them to get to the point where they can stand on their own.
The girls are not allowed to be on food stamps or other government assistance while in the program.
The cool thing, when they finish our program, even if they've had the education incentive and we've waived their rent, all the rent every month goes into what we call a little escrow account for them. And so when they leave, they get a large portion of that money back. So our program is in some cases it's 3 years long, just depending on the wounds of their childhood. If they have been here for two and a half years or whatever, all that money, even if they've been in the education incentive the whole time, that money still goes into an escrow account, and they'll get up to about $2,000.
But they also pay their first month's rent and utility deposits when they move out, just like many parents do for their own kids. Across the hallway from this first bedroom is a locked door. Behind it, my sister's closet, a boutique-like room filled with donations from vendors or members of the community. Girls can earn sister bucks for things like showing up on time, doing their homework, or being a good sister. The program teaches hard work for rewards so that when they're out on their own, they don't expect handouts. The boutique has age-appropriate clothes, those for 17 to 25-year-olds. I see labels like Forever 21, Abercrombie & Fitch, and American Eagle. Though when they first arrive here, Saving Grace will buy them necessities like underwear and socks if they come with none. Taking another right turn will bring you to the living room, furnished in part with donations from Coca-Cola International. It's homey and cozy. The place is picked up and clean.
When you're simply looking for food and shelter, that's safe shelter, you can't think past anything else. You can't dream. You can't have goals. It's like impossible. Your brain doesn't allow you to do that. And so when that in those first few weeks, they're very much in survival mode, and they either want to hide out in their rooms and just kind of sleep all the time, or they leave, they run all the time. They're constantly on the go. And both of those are hard to deal with. And it's when they first come, it just takes a few weeks for them to kind of get in the swing of things and know that our expectations are real and they're set, and we're not going to change the standards.
Becky says one of the harder things for the girls to adjust to is having someone check in on them and asking just how things are going.
But our focus is really, very literally, the girl that's in front of us. And so we focus on being the one to that one girl. Because if we invest in her long enough, the ripple effect of her success goes out into not just her family for generations, but this community for generations, and that's so important to us.
Girls that graduate will have a mentor for life and always have the opportunity to return to Saving Grace for continuing education or advice. Their logo is a butterfly. There's that story of a caterpillar. If it's forced out of its cocoon before it's ready, the butterfly will be crippled for life.
And so many times, these girls have been violated in such a way that they have been ripped out of the cocoons of their childhood and thrust into adulthood, sometimes at elementary ages. And so we're continually here doing kind of triage to help get those wounds healed and get them where they need to be successful as adults.
Though it is a Christian organization, residents are not required to be a Christian or to attend church, though they must be involved with a civic organization of some sort. 100% of Saving Grace's income comes from private community support, one-third of its annual budget coming from the event Butterflies and Blooms. This year's luncheon is set for Thursday, April 17th at the John Q. Hammond Center in Rogers. The speaker is Mary DeMuth, who wrote a memoir entitled Thin Places. It traces the winding path of thin places in her life. Thanks to generous corporate support, the community is invited to attend the luncheon as Saving Grace's guests, but they are asked to RSVP.
Year before last, we had 440 guests at our luncheon. Last year, we had 840. This year, we are already over 1,000.
To RSVP to Butterflies and Blooms, call the organization at 479-636-1133. For more information on Saving Grace or to apply to the program, visit savinggracenwa.org. This is Ozarks at Large. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
It is Sunday morning, and a special Sunday morning because it is the Sunday of our Spring On Air fundraiser, a time when we come to you, our listeners, and ask that you contribute to shows like Weekend Ozarks at Large and to Weekend Edition and to This American Life that's coming up just after this edition of Weekend Ozarks. We have volunteers here special on this Sunday morning to answer your phone calls, 575-5823. 800-522-5823, or online at supportkuaf.com.
The reason we have on-air fundraisers is because we need to talk to you, listeners just like you, because listeners provide the largest and the most stable form of funding for public radio stations like KUAF. Now, if it's been a while since you've made a gift to KUAF, or if you've never contributed, we do need your help. The largest part of our budget that we can use to pay for these programs that Christina just mentioned comes from you. If you do give every year, please remember that we now receive less money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, significantly less than just 2 years ago. So if you do contribute every year, maybe bump it up a little bit if that's an option for you. You can call with your support right now, 800-522-5823. You can also call 575-5823 or online at supportkuaf.com.
I think a lot of listeners don't realize that we have to pay NPR and Public Radio International to air programs that you hear here on KUAF.
To get the rights.
Right.
Morning Edition, for example, one of the more expensive shows, $95,000 this year.
Right. Every single year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And not only that, Ozarks at Large also costs the station money. I mean, salaries, our
right.
salaries, the equipment, electricity here at the radio station.
Keep the transmitter on, you got to pay the electric bill.
That's
it's a business
right.
just like any other. Even if we're nonprofit, we do have those bills.
And we can only pay those bills with listener support. Call now with your contribution, 575-5823, 800-522-5823, or online at supportkuaf.com. And thank you.
Earlier in the program, Jacqueline Froelich's story about frogs and the frog count that's going to take place across the state of Arkansas. That was our inspiration for our Sunday montage. Here we go.
I love it.
10 clips about frogs.
If you're the prince, then who was that waltzing with Lottie on the dance floor?
All I know is 1 minute I am a prince, charming and handsome, cutting a rug, and then the next thing I know, I'm tripping over these. Wait! I know this story. The Fragi Brutto.
Ooh, ain't got no hope. I know lady wrong. Ain't got no home, I know face wrong. I'm a lonely boy, I ain't got a home.
But, Pines, but, Pines, but.
Froggy went a coatin' and he did right on. Froggy went a coatin' and he did right on. Froggy went a coatin' and he did right, soldin' a pistol by his side on.
I used to be so into this game. Getting that frog across the street was my entire life.
Yeah, and then you went on to. That's a good game.
Then you'll be left alone, oh baby, terrible.
One by one, they faced extinction from a slithering tidal wave of terror.
I still believe man is master of the world.
Does that mean he can't live in harmony with the rest of it?
Frogs, starring Ray Milland, Sam Elliott, Joan Van Ark, Adam Rourke, and Judy Pace.
Do you know what's green?
Well, I am, for one thing. You see, frogs are green, and I'm a frog. And that means I'm green, you see? It's not that easy being green. Having to spend each day the color of the leaves. When I think it could be.
To see how you did on this week's montage, go to ozarksatlarge.com.
Good morning. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large for April 6th. 2014. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
With us is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. How are you?
I couldn't be better.
We should point out that Becca is in the middle of the run of Blythe Spirit at Art Center of the Ozarks. How has the first weekend been?
It's so much fun. It's been almost 10 years since I was on stage, and I had sort of forgotten how much fun it is. Of course, if I nod off and start snoring during the segment, just go on.
A little
There's
bit
notes
of work
here.
Too, right?
Yeah, a little bit of work here. Yeah. A little bit more work than it was 10 years ago, which is sad to admit. But if you are free this afternoon and you choose not to come to the 3 o'clock matinee of Blythe Spirit,
because you've already seen it.
Because you've already seen it. Oh, he's good.
Oh, you have tickets for next weekend.
Exactly.
Exactly. Very good. You can go to Jolly Old England anyway.
Where's that?
Weirdly enough, at the Washington County Fairgrounds.
Okay.
Who knew?
Yeah.
It is the Renaissance and Fantasy Fair of the Ozarks. And there is a great romance this year. They're actually starting to do the character-driven storyline like the Kansas City Renaissance Festival does.
So there is a narrative that runs through.
Exactly. And this is the story of Marie de Guise, who is the Duchess of Longueville. And she will decide before the end of the fair if she will marry King James V of Scotland or Henry VIII of England.
Do we have a say?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, but you can have a turkey leg.
Okay. All right.
You can have a turkey leg. It's 1537, and it's about a day's walk from Stonehenge at the Washington County Fairgrounds. And there's a village full of people in character. There are vendors selling all sorts of handmade items and jewelry and wooden swords and shields. There'll be belly dancers and music and a magician and a pirate show and fighting groups. And it's just fun.
Suitable for all ages, correct?
Suitable for all ages and a great chance to escape from the real world.
So can I dress up?
Absolutely.
All right.
And if it's like the Kansas City Renaissance Festival, if you dress up, they will treat you as though you are in character.
Okay.
So that makes it even more fun.
All right.
Going in mundane clothes.
So bring your
clothes
accent, too.
And yeah, indeed. I'm still working on one of those. It's 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock today. Admission is $6 for adults, $3 for senior citizens and children ages 5 to 17, and the little bitty ones are free.
Now, considering that the life expectancy in the 16th century was like 40 or 42, does that mean you can claim the senior citizen discount if you're in your mid-40s?
I don't think they're going to buy that.
Okay.
But it's worth a try.
Okay.
Also this afternoon, Crawford County Chronicles.
Yes.
At the Drennan Scott Historic Site. Today's topic is Crawford County and Arkansas in the Mexican War with Tom Wing.
Tom Wing, yes.
Should be fun. Reservations, please. There are sessions at 1:30 and 3, and you can call 262-2750 for reservations. The Diamonds are performing this afternoon at the Arend Art Center at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. A living pop music legacy, I am told. The original quartet rose to prominence in the 50s and 60s with songs like The Stroll and Little Darlin'.
That's right.
And tickets are $25 for adults. The Wizard of Oz is wrapping up at 2 o'clock today at the Walton Art Center in Fayetteville.
If you don't have tickets, you might be out of luck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Check 443-5600 or check online. The Man Who Came to Dinner is on stage at 2 o'clock at Rogers Little Theater.
But hurry, because he's leaving.
He is leaving. Dinner yes. is over. Boeing is on stage at Fort Smith Little Theater.
And I believe this first weekend is a near or complete sellout, so think about next weekend.
A funny, funny show. Of course, Blythe Spirit, which we mentioned, the matinee at the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale is 3 o'clock.
Okay.
If you show up at 2, you can hang out and drink coffee and eat cookies, but shows at 3, $20 for adults. And there's an art lecture this afternoon at 4 at Crystal Bridges, Picasso and His Times, with author Patrician Layton from Duke University.
Fantastic.
We have a story in What's Up from Friday, if you still have your copy. Fascinating, fascinating how she correlates Picasso's art with the politics of the time. Yeah. And that, of course, is free with online reservations at crystalbridges.org.
Fantastic.
Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
On the next Fresh Air Weekend, Michael Lewis tells us how high-frequency trading is destabilizing the stock market and maybe affecting your retirement fund. Also, cleaning advice, including how to remove particularly embarrassing stains. We talk with Jolie Kerr, author of My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. Join us.
Fresh Air Weekend this evening at 6 here on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Guy.
Guy? Who's that guy?
Well, Guy is where there is an elephant refuge.
Oh.
I've been there. It was several years ago.
Okay.
And there's a reason I bring up elephant.
Well, that's right. This evening at George's, Elephant Revival will be playing, I believe, at 8:30. Elephant Revival is a folk indie country quintet that I first saw at the Fayetteville Roots Festival last August and fell in love with. You saw them at a different venue, Antoinette.
I did. I mean, I was at the Roots Festival, but that's when I took my dinner break, and so I missed a good portion of their show. But I did get to see them at Harvest Festival on Mulberry Mountain last fall, and they were great.
And then this afternoon, Kyle, we're actually going to have Elephant Revival in the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
That's right. And that performance and conversation will be on in just a couple of weeks on Ozarks at Large. And opening for Elephant Revival tonight at George's is Smoking the Mirror, which
Smoking
is
the Mirror.
Two-thirds of Three Penny Acre.
That's right. Bernice and Brian Embry.
That's right.
So I thought it would be fitting that we end today's show with a song from Elephant Revival. So the song that we will hear is What Is Time? But before we end this edition of Weekend Ozarks, just take a couple of moments now to remind you that this is our spring on-air fundraiser, a time when we ask our listeners to make a contribution to KUAF.
You can do that online right now at supportkuaf.com or on the phone at 800-522-5823. It takes about a minute.
It is very easy. You can also do it at supportkuaf.com. That form online just takes a couple of minutes. It will ask you your name, and if you're already in the system, that will pull up immediately. Then it will ask you the amount that you would like to contribute to KUAF.
And that is completely up to you. You know how much you use KUAF. You know what you can best afford. So we leave the amount and the method of payment entirely up to you. We just ask that you do make that choice to give today.
That's right. And the method is totally up to you. You can send us a check here at 9 South School. You can use a credit card. I guess that's probably it. No, University of Arkansas payroll deduction.
That's right. And you can become a sustaining member as well. And what that means is you commit to some amount per month, up to you, in perpetuity. And it's a very stable, reliable way for KUAF to continue to bring you the programs like This American Life, On the Media, and Prairie Home Companion.
I know, that's what I do. 575-5823, 800-522-5823, or supportkuaf.com. Weekend Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
All three of us will be back together tomorrow for an all-new daily fundraising edition of Ozarks at Large. Thank you so much for listening, and have a good Sunday.
Telling you what time it is relative to where you've got to be. There is a clock on the console of your car telling you what time it is relative to how far you've got to go before you're there at your destination. Be a place of work, a place of rest, or a walk-through room home. But the question remains, well, what is time? It's when the sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, the people dance on. In which we live, it's a condition in which we think, and we can change the ways we think. So the question remains, well, what is time? It's when the sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, people dance all around.